Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Today, Friday the 5th of August 2022 is the eve of the 7th of Muharram 1444. We'll start the main program tonight with the recitation of Holy Quran by Brother Maysam Mirali. Please welcome him with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين. ومكروا ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين. إذ قال الله يا عيسى إني متوفيك ورافعك إلي ومطهرك من الذين كفروا وجاعل الذين اتبعوك فوق الذين كفروا إلى يوم القيامة ثم إلي مرجعكم فأحكم بينكم فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون. فأما الذين كفروا فأعذبهم عذابا شديدا في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم من ناصرين. وأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيوفيهم أجورهم والله لا يحب الظالمين. ذلك نتلوه عليك من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون. الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين. فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
We'll now have two Marthias by Brother Abbasli Rajbali, followed by Hamid Uncle Pirbai, followed by Ziyat Ashura. Please welcome them all with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat. قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. تیری یتیمی دیکھ کر تیری یتیمی دیکھ کر خاک شفا روتی رہی. قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. ٹکڑے ہوا لاشا تیرا قاسم یتیم مجتبی, ٹکڑے ہوا لاشا تیرا قاسم یتیم مجتبی, ماتم کیا سادات نے ماتم کیا سادات نے, کرب و بلا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. رو رو کے کہتی تھی فگا مارا گیا قاسم جوان, رو رو کے کہتی تھی فگا مارا گیا قاسم جوان, کرب و بلا کے دشت میں کرب و بلا کے دشت میں ماں کی صدا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. گورے سے جب قاسم گرا تقسیم جب لاشا ہوا, گورے سے جب قاسم گرا تقسیم جب لاشا ہوا, خیموں میں تھا ماتم بپا خیموں میں تھا ماتم بپا, آلِ ابا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. فروا کے دل میں آس تھی دیکھوں گی قاسم کی خوشی, فروا کے دل میں آس تھی دیکھوں گی قاسم کی خوشی, گٹھری میں لاشا دیکھ کر گٹھری میں لاشا دیکھ کر ماں کی دعا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. خیموں میں جب گٹھری کھلی برپا قیامت ہو گئی, خیموں میں جب گٹھری کھلی برپا قیامت ہو گئی, ٹکڑے نظر آئے جنہیں ٹکڑے نظر آئے جنہیں, سجدے میں ماروتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. لرزی زمین کانپا فلک قاسم ہوا پامال جب, لرزی زمین کانپا فلک قاسم ہوا پامال جب, جواد سر کو پیٹ کر جواد سر کو پیٹ کر رن میں قضا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی. تیری یتیمی دیکھ کر تیری یتیمی دیکھ کر خاک شفا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی قاسم تیری قربانی پہ رب کی رضا روتی رہی
صلوات
محمد وآل محمد صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
تصویر حسن قاسم
تصویر حسن قاسم
تصویر حسن قاسم کھول کر گھٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے
کھول کر گٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے ہے یہی لاش قاسم ہے یہی لاش قاسم
یہ بتاؤں کیسے
کھول کر گٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے
خون سے لال ہوئی ہے کبھی مقتل کی زمین کہیں بازو ہے پڑے سینہ کہیں سر ہے کہیں جوڑ کر ٹکڑے بدن پھر سے بناؤں کیسے
ہے یہی لاش قاسم ہے یہی لاش قاسم یہ بتاؤں کیسے کھول کر گٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے
میرے بھائی کی نشانی میرا تارا تھا یہی بیوہ مادر کے بڑھاپے کا سہارا تھا یہی
ماں کا دکھتا ہوا دل اور دکھاؤں کیسے ہے یہی لاش قاسم ہے یہی لاش قاسم یہ بتاؤں کیسے کھول کر گھٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے
سخت مشکل میں ہوں مشکل سے چھڑاؤ عباس بات شبیر کو یہ آ کے بتاؤ عباس
خیمہ مادر دلگیر میں جاؤں کیسے ہے یہی لاش قاسم ہے یہی لاش قاسم یہ بتاؤں کیسے کھول کر گٹڑی میں فروا کو دکھاؤں کیسے
بے سہارا کو یہاں کون سہارا دے گا میں جو رویا تو اسے کون دے گا dilasa dega
samne maa ke main khud ashq bahaun kaise hai yahi laashae qasim hai yahi laashae qasim ye bataun kaise khol kar ghatri mein farwa ko dikhaun kaise
khoon ke ashq nigahon se baha kar ye kaha shah ne kubra ko seene se laga kar ye kaha
main ye ujda hua ghar tera basaun kaise hai yahi laashae qasim hai yahi laashae qasim ye bataun kaise khol kar ghatri mein farwa ko dikhaun kaise
ran se laut aayega kuch der mein mera dilbar khak par baithi yahi soch rahi hai madar
khak se madar qasim ko uthaun kaise hai yahi laashae qasim hai yahi laashae qasim ye bataun kaise khol kar ghatri mein farwa ko dikhaun kaise
aankh mein ashkon ka darya tha ali noor ali lab pe shabir ka noha tha ali noor ali
haaye taqdeer ke likhe ko mitaun kaise hai yahi laashae qasim hai yahi laashae qasim ye bataun kaise khol kar ghatri mein farwa ko dikhaun kaise khol kar ghatri mein farwa ko dikhaun kaise
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
Brothers, before we continue with the main program, we're expecting a large crowd, so could I request everyone to stand up and move as far forward as possible with three salawats. Allahumma salli ala. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوسيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدتي نساء العالمين
السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور. السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلات وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلات وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشيائهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم، وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك. بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظما مصابي بك، فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن قاتلك ونسب لك الحرب، وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس الظلم والجور عليكم وأبرعوا إلى الله وإلى رسوله، ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانا وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشيائكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالات وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب، وبالبراعة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم، وحرب لمن حاربكم، وولي لمن والاكم، وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاري مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم، وأسأل الله بحقكم وبشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقف هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين والشائعات وباعات وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدع به أولا ثم الثاني والثالث والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا، ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين، لك على مصابهم، الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
اللهم صل على صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Please join me in welcoming Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali for his seventh lecture in his series entitled The Illusion of Freedom in the Individualistic Life with Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
For the benefit of the departed souls of your family members and the marhumin and marhumat of the sponsors of tonight's program and all the marhumin and marhumat and the shuhada of Islam, let's gift them with the thawab of the recitation of Masrat al-Fatiha, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, on this seventh evening of Muharram, as we've gathered here to, inshallah, commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family, inshallah, we can express our condolences to the Imam of our time on this occasion and seek his special attention to our gathering by, number one, getting up and moving closer to the front so there's room for those who are in the back, and number two, reciting a united, beautiful salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Let's have a salawat that the brothers and sisters in the main hall would be proud of, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, the topic that we have been focusing on has been the enlightened journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And what we've seen through the nights has been Imam Hussein alayhi salam's stance. His position was one in which many, because of the culture at that time, because of their ideology, they abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam at the time of need. So when we study the history, we start to see what is the path of enlightenment and what is the path of jahiliyyah, or the path of ignorance. Tonight, inshallah, my focus is going to switch to another area in which definitely people can either take a path of enlightenment or they can take a path of ignorance. In order to introduce this area, I want to narrate two incidents that come from the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The first one is when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is visiting a man named Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. Abdullah was at one of the sites where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was pausing on his journey towards Kufa. And when Imam Hussein alayhi salam sets down there and his caravan, you know, puts down and settles down there to rest, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks, like, whose tent that is? And they tell him that is the tent of Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. Abdullah was a famous warrior. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes a select group of his elite family members and he makes his way towards the tent of Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. And you know how it is when a father has children and the children are younger, and the children love their father, same thing with the mother as well. The children like to tag along. So in this case, it seems that the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were tagging along. Anyhow, Imam Hussein alayhi salam presents the case to Abdullah and he tells him, you know, about his mission. He invites him to join him. Abdullah makes an excuse. He says that I can't be there for you. In fact, I've left Kufa so that I wouldn't have to join you. But here you go, here's my sword, here's my horse, you take them, and inshallah they'll help you. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him that if you are going to be miserly when it comes to giving yourself, then we have no need for your sword nor your horse. It's you that we want, not your sword and your horse. And with that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam leaves. Abdullah is one of those people who narrates this incident himself, and he says, this is what happened to me when Imam Hussein alayhi salam visited me. And he makes a comment about the visit of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says that when he visited me, I had never seen anybody more beautiful than Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I've never set my eyes on any more beautiful sight than the scene that I saw at that time when I saw that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was walking towards me with his children surrounding him. You know, when you think about Karbala, we think about battlefields, we think about swords, we think about death, we think about, you know, suffering. And all of these have their own merit, but they also are filled with grief. But in the story of Karbala, there are these moments of incredible compassion and insight. And one of them is this, where we see the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his family. In one poem that's attributed to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you probably heard it before, but this is a good occasion for us to remind ourselves about it. He's reported to have said regarding his family, لَعَمْرِكَ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ دَارًا تَكُونُ بِهَا سَكِينَةٌ وَالرُّبَابِ. I swear that indeed I love that home in which there is sakina and rabab. أُحِبُّهُمَا وَأَبْذُلُ جُلَّ مَالِي. I love them so much, and I would be willing to spend so much on them. وَلَيْسَ لِي أَعْتِبٍ عِنْدِي عِتَابُ. And somebody who wants to come and complain and, you know, say that I'm doing something wrong, they have no right to do so. This is the type of poetry that Imam Hussein alayhi salam would compose in love of his family. Now, why do I mention that? Because we want to show how one of the aspects of pre-Islamic ignorance and the lifestyle of ignorance is when somebody doesn't give family the importance it has to be given. But the way I want to show that is by taking this through a journey back into history. And just like we have seen the likes of Osama bin Zayd, and we've seen, for example, the likes of Shurayh al-Qadi and other figures from Islamic history, we want to today look at another figure named Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha is a famous figure in history. He was somebody who was one of the renowned companions of our Prophet. And his story is really one that gets us to think, how can somebody change so much? They say that Talha was the eighth person to convert, to accept Islam. Talha was always one of the great supporters of our Prophet. He never abandoned him when others abandoned him. We're told that when the mushrikeen and the kuffar of Makkah found out that Talha and his friend Zubair had accepted Islam, they started to torture them. But despite being tortured, they told them that don't pray. If you pray, we're going to torture you even more. Despite being tortured, they kept on praying. They kept up their prayers. This is the type of commitment they had towards Islam. This is just a teenager. At that time, he was showing this type of commitment. Later on, he migrates to Medina. He doesn't participate in the battle of Badr because the Prophet had given him a special assignment. But in the battle of Uhud, we see Talha coming to the forefront. When many of the companions or so-called companions had abandoned our Prophet out of fear of being killed by the enemy forces, there's a few people who are surrounding the Prophet and making sure that his life is protected. Of course, at the forefront of them is Amir al-Mu'min Ali, Imam Ali alayhi salam. But one of them is Talha. And Talha fought so bravely, they say that he even lost one of his fingers in the battle. And at one point, he sees that the Prophet is... He got injured, and he's now fatigued, and the Prophet is praying. And Talha sees that the situation is a little bit, perhaps, you know, dangerous for the Prophet. So he actually picks up our Prophet, the blessed body of our Prophet, and he holds him on his shoulder, and he takes him to safe ground. These are the type of sacrifices that Talha had given in his younger years. Later on, we see that Talha is one of those who rushed to the support of Imam Ali alayhi salam after the death of our Prophet. He also gathered at the house of Fatima alayhi salam, and he was supportive of Imam Ali. He was one of the first to give allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam. But then a change occurs. And this change we see in a number of figures who eventually become the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if you wanted to make a timeline of their life, this is the way it works. The first part of their life is one where they are adherents to the wilaya and the authority of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then there's a time period where they become a little bit kind of, you know, uncommitted to being the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt. And then towards the end of their life, they become those who actually oppose the authority and the wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. May God protect us from that. Because when we hear these stories, it's not just stories in history. They're not just myths and fables. These are real things that happen, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be those people. So Talha, he takes a path where eventually we see that he is the commander of the army that is opposing the Imam of the time in Battle of Jamal. The same person who was fighting alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam, battling the mushrikeen, he is now facing Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Jamal. And when he dies, we're told that his last words were something very shocking. He says that, "I've never seen an elderly person, somebody who reached old age, who has been more mistaken than I am." Meaning that journey that I took away from the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the journey I've taken away from my faith, it's been the worst thing I could have possibly done. And he said that, he quotes a verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, Surah number 8, verse number 8. He says, what Allah says in the Quran, that وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا يُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّ. Be aware and take care and protect yourself against a fitna. Protect yourself against a type of test and trial that is not going to just be for the people who are openly known to be the sinners, the people who are unjust. No, it can even affect those who claim that they're believers as well. And he says that, now I know whom was intended in that ayah. I know that it was intended for myself and Zubair. We're the ones that Allah meant. We were supposed to have taken care of ourselves, but we didn't. So the question is, what was the downfall of Talha? And we see that one of the outstanding things that happened in his life, and when the shift started to occur, it goes back to a misguided approach towards justice. Okay, and I'm setting the grounds for talking about family because I want to talk about family from the framework of justice and rights and responsibilities. So what was going on? We see that during the time of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, he talks about justice and he is a man of justice and he shows people what justice is all about. Everyone is like the comb, the teeth of a comb. They're all equal. This is the type of teachings that the Prophet taught. Don't look at the outer of a person, their skin color, or the clothes that they wear. Everyone is a child of Adam and they're to be treated equally. And that's why we see in the seerah and the life history of the Prophet that he constantly emphasized justice, justice, justice. And this continued until the time of the second Khalifa in particular, where he has another idea of justice, and he's influenced by the way that things are being done in other lands and other empires, the Romans and the Persians. So what does he say? He says that we have all this money coming into the public treasury. Until now, we divided it equally, but now we're going to change things up. No longer is it the case that everyone is equal. We're going to change what it means to distribute things according to justice. And so what he does is he says that if you are somebody who, for example, you are a muhajir, then you get more than the Ansar. If you migrated, then you get more than the Ansar, who are the helpers in Medina. If you are a muhajir and you're from the Quraysh, then you get more than those who were non-Quraysh. Okay, now he starts going further. If you are an Arab, then you get more from the public treasury than if you are a non-Arab. And it continues. If you are a veteran of the Battle of Uhud and Badr, then you get more than if you weren't veterans of these battles. If you converted to Islam and you reverted to Islam before the Fath, before the conquest of Mecca, then you get more than those who reverted to Islam after the conquest of Mecca. If you come from a noble family, then you get more than the families which are really not known. And even though when we think about things now, we say that that's hideous, right? What kind of Islam is that? Right? That's actually what took place in history. And now we see that those companions who previously had sacrificed so much, giving up even his finger, risking his life, when he's tested at this time, we see that he fails the test. And he becomes one of those who gets indulged in the life of this world. Yesterday, I gave you the example of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and how he had his own palace, remember? That was given a special name, Qasr al-Sa'd. Here we see that Talha also has his own palace, which is known as Talhiyin. And people would say that, you know, his palace is better than the palace of the Caesars and the Pharaohs and the caliphs. They said that if we had the type of wealth that he would have, then we'd be able to take care of a lot of the poverty that exists in the Muslim world right now. That's how much wealth that he had amassed. Now, what is the sickness that has developed here? What do we see the re-emergence of in the society? It is a pre-Islamic aspect which is now coming back again, which is the notion that justice is not something which is an absolute standard. Rights do not come from anywhere which is absolute. We get to make the rules about how we want to be just. We're the ones who say what's right and what's wrong. Now this is very important because now let's go to the modern world. We're going to talk about what's happening right now. I'm going to talk about an example, you know, kind of at the global level, and then we're going to bring it back to the family. So in recent history, and we have to know our history, we know that the world wars have led to the deaths of millions of people. 90 million, 100 million people were killed through wars that were fought for reasons which sometimes you got to wonder exactly what was going on. After World War II, there was a lot of concern about all the blood that was shed, and the United Nations came together and they said that we need to do something about this. So what do? They say that we're going to draft a document which is going to be our standard for justice. And this document is a famous document. It becomes known as the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. It's very interesting. You go study it, you see that it talks about a lot of great things. You know, safety, liberty, freedom, rights. What is the basis of this document? If you go and study it, you see that everything is pivoted around the concept of justice. One of our respected greatest scholars of our current time by the name of Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, Hafidhahullah, he, in one of his commentaries, he says that this document, from a terminology perspective, it's great. It talks about a lot of good things. But he says that there's a fundamental problem in this document. What is the problem? He says that all those things that they're talking about, there is no basis from which they come. They're just things that the delegates had agreed upon. They said that we're going to respect the life and liberty and property of every human being. Everyone has the right to live like this. Everyone has the right to live in peace. But there is no source that they're going back to, which is informing them that this is not only justice, but this is how you implement justice. And that's the fundamental flaw. When it comes from yourself, the problem is that the standards become shaky. You have nothing that you're committing to. And we see what that leads to in the modern era. You must be aware of the type of injustice that takes place at the hands of those who claim that they are supporters of human rights. You see, for example, the United Nations Secretary General just recently, what does he say? He says that Israel should be added to a United Nations blacklist. Why? He says that it should be added to a United Nations blacklist because of its violence, if its violence against Palestinian children is repeated this year. Okay, great. So he's talking about, you know, the defense of life and liberty, right? But why are you saying that if it repeats this year, then you need to be added to the blacklist? Does that mean that it was okay if it happened last year and the year before and the year before and the year before that as well too? You see that the people now who are tasked with enforcing justice, it becomes something which is very subjective. When they want to weigh in, to what extent they want to weigh in, how they're going to enforce those principles of justice. This is what happens when your system of rights becomes something which depends on yourselves. You see that some of the world leaders, one of the world leaders who came into power saying that Saudi Arabia is a pariah state. This is what he said when he came into power. This is how he was elected. Just recently, you see him fist bumping with Muhammad ibn Salman. Right? This guy has blood on his hands, like, you know, what he does, and here he is fist bumping with him. Right? What does he show you? It means that this notion of justice becomes very shaky. Now, brothers and sisters, we can talk about world wars, and we can talk about, like, you know, battles and things being killed, but today I want to take this issue back into our homes. Because sometimes, unfortunately, the type of wars that happen and the battles that take place, you know, sometimes we feel that they're more heated and they're more, you know, in terms of like the intensity is more of what happens in the homes more than what happens out there. We have to be realistic. You know, we're coming here, inshallah, we're trying to see what solutions we can find to the problems that we're facing. Those who are in the field working with the mu'min, working with the believers, they say that one of the very concerning issues is the state of the family and the home. There's a lot of issues that are taking place. Families, you know, falling apart, ripping apart, divorces taking place in the community. Newlyweds within 1 year breaking apart. We have children growing up in families and feeling that they have no love. There's no one there to care for them because the parents are emotionally divorced. And the list of issues goes on and on. But it doesn't have to be that way, brothers and sisters. We need to understand what is the root cause of it. What is it that's actually happening underneath the hood? Inshallah, with your help, I want to go a little bit deeper and try to understand this. Inshallah, you can help me with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm going to say a few points here about marriage. And, you know, sometimes people are a little bit concerned when you talk about marriage. They say that, oh, brother, it's Muharram, you know, like we don't want to think about marriage or anything like that. I'm not asking you to go and get married right now. Okay, so please, like, don't take it wrong. But sometimes, you know, we got to talk about those things that are really important. And this is one of the times where I feel this is essential. Brothers and sisters, I have a chance to work with a number of the youth. One of the things that's really concerning me that maybe is concerning you as well is the attitude that is developing among the youth, which is an attitude of being anti-marriage. I don't want to get married. Well, why don't you want to get married? Let's go and look at the reasons. Number one is that a number of times we see that our youth, they've seen bad examples. They saw, for example, what happened in their own home between their parents. And they say that if that's what marriage is about, then that's not what I want. Or they hear about, you know, somebody in the community or their brother or sister or cousin and how they got married and, you know, soon enough, like, the marriage had to break. Why would I want to do that? So one thing I want to mention, you know, for our youth, alhamdulillah, we're blessed to have many youth. May Allah reward you all. Very happy and very excited and praying for your future. You know, my dear younger brothers and sisters, let's say that one day you go to a restaurant and for some reason, you know, they serve you some bad food. So afterwards, you know, you get like a stomachache. What is your response going to be? Right? At most, you get upset, right? You go through your stomach issues, and then when you're done, you go on Google and you give the bad review to them, right? Like, these guys serve me some bad food. But is your response going to be that now that I ate that bad food, okay, I'm done with food forever, that's it? Right? Nobody does that, right? You got to eat. Eating is part of being a human being. It's something which is essential. We don't leave aside food just because we had a bad experience at a restaurant. Yes, it is the case that we have a lot of problems when it comes to marriages, but that doesn't mean that the whole institution needs to be, you know, broken apart. Sometimes you hear from the youth that I like my freedom. I like being an independent person. I enjoy being able to travel around, you know, especially now in the post-COVID era, we can find these flexible jobs where we can be, you know, a company can be headquarters in London and we can be in Mexico, right, doing whatever there, and we can be working. Right? I like that type of lifestyle. I don't want to commit myself. No, I want to ask a question here that, you know, in the Quran, Allah says that when it comes to getting married, that hunna libasum lakum wa antum libasun lahun. They are a clothing to you and you are a clothing to them. Men, husband and wife are supposed to be clothes to one another. Now, excuse me, I'm sorry to say this, right? But when you go to Mexico and you're going to go, you know, hiking up the mountains there or going into the valleys or whatever else you do in Mexico, right? You're going to be taking your clothes with you, right? You're going to be taking, you're going to be traveling and you're going to be taking your traveling clothes with you. Because after all, if you don't have that, you're not going to find the comfort that you need. Your experience is going to be limited. This is very important, brothers and sisters, that that's how important marriage is, that it is like a libas. It is something which protects us, something which comforts us. It keeps us cool when it gets hot. It keeps us warm when it gets cold. It gives us that comfort we need against the elements of nature. It gives us that familiarity we need in times of alienation. It's something which is very important. But when we go and we go even deeper into the issue and we say, what is the fundamental problem here? Why is it that we find this trend of people not being so excited about marriage? Maybe we could say that it's going back to this issue of rights and responsibilities. Because one of the things that the postmodern era teaches us is that you have no responsibilities to anyone else except for what you want. It talks about freedom. Be free. Don't chain yourself to anything. Don't commit yourself to anything. If you want boundaries, you draw the boundaries. But it's all up to you. Perhaps one of the reasons that's holding us back from wanting to accept this divinely ordained responsibility is the unwillingness to accept the responsibility that comes along with it. And this is what I want to mention this evening, this point. That brothers and sisters, sometimes we fool ourselves. We have this type of individualistic thinking. We think that true freedom can only be attained by getting rid of all the responsibility that otherwise we would have. My mom and dad, they need me in their old age. Okay, I'm going to find a good home for them to stay in and I'll pay the money for that, but I won't be able to serve them. My spouse is going to ask me for certain things. I'm going to need to tend to their needs. Well, if I want to do it, I'll do it, but if I can't do it, no. Okay, I'm sorry. No, not today. Right? What is it that's going on here? It's an unwillingness to accept that responsibility that I'm supposed to accept. This is very serious. It's a problem that not only sometimes prevents people from getting married, but even when they get into marriage as well. You know, there's different advice that's given by a lot of people about how to have successful marriages. And you go and you look at the self-help books. One of the trends you see lately is this type of advice which says that if you want a successful marriage, what your approach should be is that don't give up an inch. You know, you hold your line, and whatever you do, don't give, because if you give in once, then you have to give in a second time and a third time. You know, this is the type of advice that's given. And so what do you have? You have these two individuals who are saying that I've drawn my line and you've drawn your line and we're not going to give an inch. What does that lead to? Right? That's not a marriage. Right? That sounds like two people who maybe are roommates at best, right? And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, then we're going to call it quits. You know, the Quran is very beautiful. It teaches us this incredible example of what does it mean to interact with one another. What approach should we take? I want to take you to the story of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Nabi Sulaiman, as you know, was one of the prophets who was a symbol of power, authority. But he was also a prophet of God. So he was somebody who was not self-centered in his approach to other people. He was somebody who always kept God in mind when he interacted with other beings. And he also was given powers. He was able to communicate with animals. So what does the Quran tell us? The Quran says that when Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam is... recite salawat ala Muhammad. One more salawat, please. The Quran says that when Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam comes to the valley of the ants, what is it that the leader of the ants calls out? Ya ayyuhan namlu udkhulu masakinakum la yahtimannakum Sulaimanu wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. O ants, go ahead and enter into your homes. Don't let Sulaiman trample you when you do not perceive this. Now, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam is a commander of an army. And now he is dealing with a group of ants. Right? How does he deal with them? The Quran says that at that point, this symbol of power is dealing with the symbol of weakness. And in this case, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam could have taken a number of approaches. He could have said that, how dare you refer to me as in that way, like as if we're people who are senseless, we don't know anything. Don't you know of my reputation as being like a king who is very generous and very respectful of all the rights and whatnot? He could have questioned and said that, you know, why is it that, you know, you are so bold as to take this action and hide yourself at this time? Maybe you should come and present yourself and salute me. But what does it say? فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِنْ قَوْلِهَا Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, at that time, he began to laugh at what the queen ant had said. You see, brothers and sisters, at this time, when Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam has the power to act in a certain way, what does he do? He says that, I have the power, but I'm going to laugh. Right? I'm going to show love. I'm going to show compassion. This is not the time to be like a soldier and go on attack. This is the time for me to retreat and to try to make a connection. And this is so important when it comes to our lives, our family lives. We see that some of the basic principles sometimes are not being observed. I want to end this portion with an anecdote that took place from the time of our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam. It's a very insightful anecdote. And you know, one of the things I would say is that sometimes we look for self-help in all these books, you know, Seven Secrets for a Highly Successful Marriage and Family Life and Raising Children and whatnot. And we are not appreciative or we're not aware of the wisdom that lies in the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This is one of those hadith. The Imam alayhi salam, there was one of his companions who one time comes to him and he says that my father is a nasibi. My father is one of the people who hates the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I need some advice. How do I deal with him? Right? There's a family conflict right here. Now this could be between a son and a father. It could be between a daughter and her mother or a daughter and her father. It could be between a husband and a wife. The same principles apply. So he says that I'm troubled with this. I've tried different things. My father is just not, you know, he always is attacking me. He's always on my case. What should I do? Should I go all out and battle him? Should I start just like when he brings up something and he insults, you know, the Ahlul Bayt, should I go and respond to him? What approach should I take? So what does the Imam alayhi salam say? First of all, he says to him, you know, this is in the form of a letter. He says to him that you should know that I'm praying for you. Right? You should know that the difficulties you're going through, you're not alone in these difficulties. I'm there with you. Right? We're not alone. Sometimes we think that the challenges we face inside our homes, they're so difficult, we don't know what to do. We're not alone. Then what does he say? He says, number one, وَالْمُدَارَاتُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْمُكَاشَفَةِ. He says that if you have family conflict, your number one approach should not be that you go head to head. Right? Your number one approach should be what's called mudara, which means an approach of gentle tolerance. Where does this approach come from? It comes from knowing that it's not about just me and this person right here. It's about me being in the presence of Allah. Right? This is so important. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, how does he approach it? He had all the power in the world. He could have said that, I don't care about you. I'm just going to trample you, even though you said not to. But he laughs at that case. The approach of gentle tolerance is something which is very important. He says that that's number one. Number two, he says that you should know that indeed with difficulty is ease. You're going through these challenges, but you should know that within those challenges, there's opportunities for growth for you. Sometimes we're tested at home. We're tested to be patient. We're tested to hold our tongue. Right? We're tested to take a long-term approach, a strategic approach, where we don't react immediately. It's very difficult. And we think that, how can I bear this difficulty? But at that time, if we look in our hearts, we see how these are opportunities to be experiencing spiritual growth. Here I am holding my tongue, and inside of my heart, it's coming alive with the remembrance of Allah. It's very beautiful. Number three, he tells him that be patient. فَإِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Be patient because at the end, the success is going to be with the people of taqwa. And number four, he reminds him that at the end of the day, we're all under the wilaya of Allah. We're all under Allah's governance. And then what happens? After some time, his companion gets his advice, and then he writes him a letter back. He says that, oh my Imam, I applied these principles, and my father now has accepted your love in his heart, and every position that I take, he is with me in that position. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, those marriages which might seem like they're faltering, those relationships which might seem like they're breaking apart, one thing that we can do is let's approach them from this angle, that I want to embrace taking responsibility. I want to take the approach of a long-term approach, thinking strategically. And I want to have hope that Allah is with me as I try to go about these things. This issue of family is extremely important. This issue of marriage is extremely important. Our next topic, inshallah, will have to do with raising children in the modern era and some of the challenges that come from that. But for now, the focus has been on this bond between the husband and wife. Inshallah, with the barakah of this majlis, this is something that we can work on. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we are commemorating a very tender tragedy from the events that took place on the day of Ashura. We know that it was very difficult for Imam Hussein alayhi salam when his brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam was poisoned. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes to him at that time. And when he sees the condition of his older brother, he begins to cry. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam asks him that, oh my brother, why are you crying like this? And he says, I'm crying because I'm seeing you in this state. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam tells him that famous line that, oh Abu Abdullah, la yawma ka yawmika ya Abu Abdullah. There is no day like your day, Abu Abdullah. And then he begins to remind him of what is going to happen in the future. Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks him that, oh my dear brother, what is it that I can do for you? He says to him that one of the instructions is that my children, they are now going to be orphaned. Oh my brother, take them and treat them like your own children. And we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam took his brother's request to heart. Throughout those years, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was like a father for his nephews, Qasim and Abdullah and the others. We know that on the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is gathered with his companions, and he is telling them of their definite fate tomorrow. It is not you that they are after. You have come with me until now, but now I give you permission. Those who want to leave, you are free to leave. And we know that not a single one of them left. As the companions one by one re-pledge their allegiance to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is one young boy, 11 years old, 12 years old, who is watching what takes place. His name is Qasim ibn al-Hasan. And at the end of this beautiful display of loyalty, he comes to his uncle and he asks him a question. I want to try something a little bit different tonight. Rather than narrating the incident, I want to just mention a few lines of poetry that were composed by one of the young poets in the community. She says the following: in death, Hazrat Qasim's face holds a smile, and in it the night's memory comes to mind, an image of a young face in a tent full of men who knew with dawn all present would die. Of the boy who realized his youth may be at stake, who tomorrow may life for death have to barter. Yet with passion in his voice he had asked his imam, "Uncle, am I too included in the list of martyrs?" Imam Hussein had responded, "Oh my dear son, how do you consider death in the way of Allah?" And Hazrat Qasim had smiled such a sweet smile, and in his answer this lesson history saw, that the human's true price is greater than this world, that the only thing worth in it is eternity, that no oppressor or tyrant can shackle your soul when God himself has created you free, that to enter the fray with your honor and die on your feet is better than living life on your knees, for such death dying for truth can only be as he said, for Qasim such death sweeter than honey. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya ibn Rasulillah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon Imam Hussein and upon his noble companions. Peace be upon our beloved Imam Hassan, who was not present in Karbala, but who was represented by his seven sons. Peace and blessings be upon Qasim ibn al-Hasan, that young child of Imam Hassan. On the day of Ashura, he approaches his uncle. Imam Hussein alayhi salam knows why Qasim is coming to him. Immediately the tears come to his eyes. He embraces Qasim. Qasim begins to cry. Imam Hussein is crying. What is Imam Hussein thinking? Perhaps he is remembering those words that he had given to Imam Hassan: "I will take care of your children as if they are my sons." But he knows Qasim's resolve. He knows that for Qasim, death is sweeter than honey. Qasim alayhi salam begins to kiss the hands of his uncle. He really wants him to agree to accept for him to go to the battlefield. Eventually, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "My dear nephew, you have permission to proceed." Brothers and sisters, every soldier that goes towards the battlefield, they have armor, they have a shield. But when Qasim goes to the battlefield, he has no armor, he has no shield. They say that even the buckle of his sandal had come loose. Why doesn't he have armor? Because he's just a child facing an army of men. Humayd ibn Muslim from the enemy army says that as if we saw the new moon on a dark sky, this child's face was so beautiful. I can picture him coming to us. He was crying out something. What is it that he was saying? إن تنكروني فأنا فرخ الحسن سبط النبي المصطفى المؤتمن هذا الحسين كالأسير المرتهن بين أناس لا سقوا صوب المزن. If you don't know who I am the son of Hassan, the grandson of the Prophet, the one who was known as the trustworthy one. This is Hussein. He is a prisoner amongst the people. May Allah deprive them of that water which is quenching and nourishing. Qasim is facing an army of men. They raise their swords. They come towards him. But there is one man among them. He says to Humayd, he says that by Allah, I'm going to attack this child. Humayd looks at him in disgust. Why do you say this? Don't you see there's an entire company of men going towards him? That will be enough. He says that no, I want to go and end his life. What cruelty. He goes towards the child. We see that the child is now crying out. What is he saying? Oh, my uncle, come to me. Qasim ibn al-Hassan alayhi salam falls to the ground. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes to his side. He comes to the aid of his nephew. There is some commotion. It's not clear what happens at that time. But we see when the dust settles, the uncle is at the side of his nephew. He is crying out, "Oh Allah, by Allah, it is so difficult for your uncle, for you to have called him and for him not to have assisted you. Oh Qasim, this is the day when there are many who are thirsty for our blood, but our supporters are so few." We saw that Imam Hussein was hugging Qasim before he went to the battlefield. There is one time more where Imam Hussein is hugging Qasim. What is the time? It is now when he is taking his body back towards the tents. Qasim's feet are dragging on the ground. When Imam places his body next to the body of Ali Akbar, it seems that the children and the women find this very difficult. He turns to them and he tells them, "Be patient, O my children. Qasim has been killed. But this day is a day of test and trial, after which we will not have to face the same thing again." لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. ماتم حسين.
لاش قاسم کا نظر آیا حسن یاد آئے عاش قاسم کا نظر آیا سنی یاد آئے اس گھڑی روئے بہت اس گھڑی روئے بہت شہ کو حسن یاد آئے لاش قاسم کا نظر آیا حسن یاد آئے اور ہائے قاسم نہ تیرے ٹکڑے بدن کے ہوتے ہائے قاسم نہ تیرے ٹکڑے بدن کے ہوتے رو کے سینے سے لگا یا تو حسن یاد آئے لاش قاسم کا نظر آیا حسن یاد آئے اور ٹکڑے قاسم کے چنے اور آبا میں ڈالے ٹکڑے قاسم کے چنے اور آبا میں ڈالے باندھ کر لاشا اٹھا یا تو حسن یاد آئے لاش قاسم کا نظر آیا حسن یاد آئے اور ہائے شبیر جو قاسم کا جنازہ لائے ہائے شبیر جو قاسم کا جنازہ لائے زخمی تیروں کے جنازے میں حسن یاد آئے لاش قاسم کا نظر آیا 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 حسن یاد آئے ہائے قاسم ہائے ہائے قاسم 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 حالا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں قاسم مولا 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 کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں قاسم ملتا ہی نہیں تیرے ملتا ہی نہیں تیرے لاشے کا پتا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں قاسم
مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں قاسم کم سنہ مگر شیرو جیسا ہے جگر اس کا سردار جوانان جنت ہے پدر اس کا کیسے ہو بھلا تیرے کیسے ہو بھلا تیرے او صاف بیا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں 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 قاسم سینے سے لگاتے ہیں روتے ہوئے کہتے ہیں اے لال میرے قاسم رخصت تمہیں کرتے ہیں ڈھونڈوں گا بھلا تم کو ڈھونڈوں گا بھلا تم کو اب جا کے کہا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں 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 قاسم رخصت ہوئے مادر سے بہنوں سے دعائیں لی اس چاند سے چہرے کی زینب نے بلائے لی ہو جاؤ گے نظروں سے ہو جاؤ گے نظروں سے اب تم بھی نہا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں 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 قاسم چلنی ہوا تیروں سے معصوم سا شہزادہ پورا کیا قاسم نے بابا سے کیا وعدہ آتے ہیں وہاں مولا آتے ہیں وہاں مولا گرتے ہیں جہاں قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں 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 قاسم کم سنہ مگر شیرو جیسا ہے جگر اس کا سردار جوانان جنت ہے پدر اس کا کیسے ہو بھلا تیرے کیسے ہو بھلا تیرے او صاف بیا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جواں 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 قاسم بکھرے ہوئے کچھ ٹکڑے میدان سے اٹھاتے ہیں یوں لاشائے قاسم کی کھٹری سی بناتے ہیں سہ پائے گی غم تیرا تیرا کیسے تیری مقاصد مولا کی صدا گونجی ہے میرے شبا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی ہے میرے شبا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جوا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جوا قاسم کم سن ہے مگر شیرو جیسا ہے جگر اس کا سردار جوانان جنت ہے پدر اس کا کیسے ہو بھلا تیرے صدا گونجی اے میرے جوا قاسم مولا کی صدا گونجی اے میرے جوا قاسم
یا حسین
یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین
بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا رسول الله أشهد أن أشهد أن عليا ولي الله أشهد أن
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وسلم.
استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن علي ولي الله أشهد أن عليا حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله
الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأفعل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عظم الذنب من عبدك فليحسن العفو من عندك يا كريم الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Brothers, as a request to please recite Surah Fatiha, Shafai Marith for Sister Fatima Ramtullah Khamisa for her quick recovery. Al-Fatiha.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إني أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والنجاة من النار ومن كل بلية والفوز بالجنة والرضوان في دار السلام وجوار نبيك محمد عليه وآله السلام. اللهم ما بنا من نعمة فمنك، لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، اللهم صل على محمد، أشهد أن علي ولي الله، أشهد أن علي حجة الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنا أعطيناك الكوثر، فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، الله أكبر. بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا. الله أكبر.
سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا ولي العافية نسألك العافية الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Brothers, inshallah, we'll have a speech live relayed from the main hall after Isha Dua. So.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إنه ليس لي علم بموضع رزقي وإنما أطلبه بخطرات تخطر على قلبي فأجول في طلبه البلدان فأنا فيما أنا طالب كالحيران لا أدري أفي سهل هو أم في جبال أم في أرض أم في سماء أم في بر أم في بحر وعلى يدي من ومن قبل من وقد علمت أن علمه عندك وأسبابه بيدك وأنت الذي تقسمه بلطفك وتسببه برحمتك اللهم فصل على محمد وآله واجعل يا رب رزقك لي واسعا ومطلبه سهلا ومأخذه قريبا ولا تعنني بطلب ما لم تقدرني فيه رزقا فإنك غني عن عذابي وأنا فقير إلى رحمتك فصل على محمد وآله وجد على عبدك بفضلك إنك ذو فضل عظيم.
Brothers, the announcements for this evening are as follows. Today, Friday the 5th of August, eve of the 7th of Muharram, 1444. The daily ladies' morning majlis will be at 10 a.m. with Quran. The children's Muharram program in the annex will be at 10 a.m. parallel to the ladies' majlis. The main program tomorrow will start at 7:15 p.m. with Quran. Sunday, 7th August, majlis has been arranged at Northwood Qabristan at 11 a.m. Muharram Majalis sponsorship scheme is £810 per night. To sponsor either in part or full, please contact Brother Mushtaq Qasim or Brother Sajjad Tejani in the gents or the chair lady in the ladies. The Muharram Niyaz Fund is open. Please donate generously at the treasury desk. Membership subscriptions can be paid at the desk or online. As you know, we're working towards our future at Hujjat Harefield. Please donate to the treasurer's desk in the gents and the ladies and or via the Harefield Ambassador Tables. For all recitation requests, please email recite@hujjat.org. Please respect our neighbours by not blocking their driveways. Let us set an example of being good citizens by not inconveniencing our neighbours. Car parking announcement. Once rugby and centre car parks are full, overflow in the Monday will be at the rear grass area. Please follow guidance from the CPV and cooperate with them fully. If you're parking in the Monday grass area, please ensure you vacate by 10:30 p.m. Kindly refrain from smoking or littering in their grounds. Al-Hadi Youth have organized an open forum after the main program tonight with the EC and property team. For all those with questions about the Harefield project are requested to attend. It should be starting after ziyarat, inshallah. Tawajjah ziyarat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين
السلام عليك يا فاتمة الزهراء، السلام عليك يا خديجة الكبرى، السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى، السلام عليك يا حسين الشهيد بكربلاء، السلام عليك يا تسعة المعصومين من ذريتك علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والحجة بن الحسن، أجل الله فرجه وسهل الله مخرجه وظهوره. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كل وليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى أبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقاعدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Assalamu alaikum, ulama ikram, Sheikh Safda Jafar, World Federation President, my elders, brothers and sisters in Iman, Assalamu alaikum again. I was told it's Friday, and I was told there's no time limit. So I hope you are rested and well hydrated in this warm weather. Why do I say hydrated? Today, on behalf of World Federation Aid, I would like once again to remind you one of the flagships that World Federation has been doing for the last 10 years.